In the end, people around the world must create the pressure needed to save these big cats. This Moment of Science comes from Indiana University with production support from the Brabson Foundation. Today's program was prepared by Susan Linville with help from Jill Mateo at the University of Chicago. I'm Yael Cassander.
In sports, no three-peat this time for the Purdue women. Ohio State's Jontel Lavender made one of two free throws with 6 seconds left to give the 12th-ranked Buckeyes a 67-66 victory over third-seeded Purdue in the Big Ten Tournament Championship game yesterday in Indianapolis. Michigan State's Kalen Lucas scored 21 points to help the number 8 Spartans defeat the 19th-ranked Boilermakers 62-51. The loss dropped the Purdue men to the third seed in the upcoming men's Big Ten tournament behind Michigan State and number 2 seed Illinois. The Chicago Bulls are hoping to improve on a dismal road record when they face off against the Miami Heat tonight. Chicago is 29-34 overall and 10-23 away from the United Center. That puts them in 8th place in the Eastern Conference. The Cubs face off against the Kansas City Royals today in spring training action, and Cubs manager Lou Piniella is hoping to see some improvement. The Cubs started Cactus League play by going 4-0, but they've now lost 8 of their last 9, including yesterday's loss 7-2 to the Rangers. The White Sox and Cleveland play this afternoon in Glendale, Arizona. The Sox are coming off a 9-4 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers, while Cleveland suffered an 8-5 loss to an Oakland Athletics split squad yesterday. And the St. Louis Cardinals, they have the day off today before playing host to the Detroit Tigers at Roger Dean Stadium in Florida tomorrow afternoon. The Cards are 5-4-1 in spring training so far. They lost to the Florida Marlins 9-8 yesterday. That's sports.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by Eastern Rug Gallery, offering a wide selection of guaranteed, hand-knotted, oriental, and Persian rugs. Eastern Rug Gallery also offers a cleaning and repair service. 1402 South Neal in Champaign.
A University of Illinois alumnus will lead the next NASA shuttle mission, slated to lift off Wednesday for the International Space Station. The launch of the Discovery is the second shuttle mission for Lee Armshambow. And those who taught the Illinois native say they're not surprised by his success. AM 580's Jeff Bossert reports.
U of I alumnus Lee Armshambow says he grew up riveted by the lunar missions of the 60s and 70s. He was raised in the Chicago area in the shadow of another astronaut. Eugene Cernan is best known for his role in 3 NASA missions, including as commander of Apollo 17 in 1972. And like him, Archambault is from the suburb of Bellwood. In an interview provided by NASA, he called Cernan one of his heroes.
Standing in a parade when I was about 6 years old, honoring Mr. Cernan's first mission in the Gemini program. So we followed Mr. Cernan's career along quite well, quite closely, and it was interesting to see him walk on the moon, and actually still has to this day the distinction of being the last man to walk on the moon.
Archambault says his parents worked hard to ensure he'd attend college, and he wasn't about to let them down.
My mother ended up becoming a nurse, my dad a fireman in the Chicago area, and they both worked a lot of extra part-time jobs and overtime in addition to their primary jobs to make sure both myself and my sister had the opportunities that they didn't. And when I was able to go away to college at the University of Illinois, I was determined not to waste their hard-earned their money.
And faculty at the U of I say that same willpower would show as Archambault was working towards degrees in the late 70s and early 80s with the focus of becoming a pilot.
He was almost aggressive in getting work done.
Ken Sivier, a professor emeritus of aeronautical and astronautical engineering, helped Archambault earn his master's degree.
You're assigned or choose a student, and time goes by, and it's time to get a thesis done. I can't remember how long it took him to do it, but it seemed to me he did it within 2 or 3 months.
For that thesis, Archambault completed a numerical study on a problem within aeronautical engineering. While solving complicated mathematical equations, students in such a field of study often get tips on their writing. But a former U of I instructor and publications editor says Archambault never needed it. Arthur Chamberlain says their conversations often turned to other things, including his love for hockey and seeking a more competitive level of play.
So he would come in and belabor the fact that he was on the Illini club hockey, and he wanted to really play in the Big Ten hockey. So one time I suggested, well, why don't you transfer to the University of Wisconsin? And he said, oh, I'd love to, but I can't. They don't have an aerospace department.
After getting his master's degree, Archambault joined the Air Force and flew in 22 combat missions during the Gulf War. Later, he logged more than 4,000 hours as a test pilot before being selected as a pilot by NASA in 1998. Just before his first space shuttle mission in 2007, Archambault made a return trip to the U of I campus. Aerospace engineering professor John Prussing watched him as he met with engineering students. He says, like many astronauts, Archambault has a way of making his job sound easy.
He tends to understate things that are very difficult that he had to do involving moving the robot arm. And his description would usually be, this took a lot of concentration, rather than saying, you know, my heart was thumping so hard I couldn't see straight or anything like that.
On this week's trip, Archambault is headed back to the International Space Station. This 7-member crew is responsible for delivering solar wings to the site. They'll produce 66 kilowatts of electricity, or enough to provide power to about 30 homes of more than 2,800 square feet. They'll also be leaving one crew member there, while another astronaut at the station will be brought back to Earth. Archambault is one of 5 U of I graduates to be part of the space program. The others are Joe Tanner, Steve Nagel, Dale Gardner, and Scott Altman, who's the commander for a Space Shuttle Atlantis mission to the Hubble Space Telescope scheduled for May. NASA is close to ending its shuttle program, but new spacecraft are being developed to take men and women back to the moon and beyond, and Archambault expects more interest to come along with it. In the NASA interview, he says it was men walking on the moon that got him hooked on the space program.
Today's children have not seen us explore the unknown, but when we start doing that again with the Orion and Constellation program, when we go to the moon for the first time in their lives and go on to Mars for the first time in history, these young adults will be just as inspired, if not more, than our generation was when we saw Neil Armstrong walk on the moon.
Lee Archambault will be able to gauge a bit of that support later this year. He's expected back on the U of I's Urbana campus to discuss his travels. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. When I think of censorship, books leap to mind. Libraries and bookstores now for over a quarter of a century have annually marked Banned Books Week with displays and talks. I hadn't thought much about banned music, but of course music has faced challenges too. With that in mind, a group of musicians have been singing out for the First Amendment. Some of them will be in Champaign-Urbana for a rock concert set for tomorrow evening at the University of Illinois to celebrate the First Amendment and the freedom to express one's opinion in song, even if that song might be considered unorthodox or unpopular. The concert begins at 7:30 tomorrow evening at Follinger Auditorium. It is free and open to the public. Called Freedom Sings for the First Amendment, it will feature music that has been banned, censored, or has sounded a call for social change. My guest in this portion of the program, Bill Lloyd, a Grammy-nominated performer and part of the former duo Foster and Lloyd. In recent years, he's been performing with Cheap Trick. He's also the string instrument curator of the Country Music Hall of Fame. Before I talk with Bill Lloyd, let's listen to an excerpt from a recording he made of a song that ran into trouble in the 1950s when performed by Elvis Presley.
Well, I heard the news, there's good rockin' tonight. Have you heard the news, there's good rockin' tonight. I'm gonna hold my baby as tight as I can. Tonight she'll know I'm a mighty, mighty man. I heard the news, there's a good rockin' tonight.
Good Rockin' Tonight, performed by Bill Lloyd from the CD American Band, Freedom Sings Live. When Good Rockin' Tonight was covered and released in 1954 by Elvis Presley, it quickly appeared on a list of objectionable records compiled by the Juvenile Delinquency and Crime Commission in Houston. Bill Lloyd joins me this afternoon to talk about Freedom Sings for the First Amendment. Bill, good to talk with you.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So who else is involved in Freedom Sings for the First Amendment?
We've been doing this program for about 10 years now, and tomorrow night you'll see 3-time Grammy Award winner Ashley Cleveland, who wins seemingly almost every year for rock gospel album. We've got people like Jason White, who wrote Red Ragtop for Tim McGraw that ran into some trouble. We have a singer named Jonell Mosser, who's really popular here in Nashville. The whole band is based out of Nashville. We have a singer-songwriter named Don Henry, who's written hits for Ray Charles and Kathy Mattea. We have Joseph Wooten, who plays with the Steve Miller Band. We have our drummer's named Craig Cramp, who's played on a million different records and produced people like Janis Ian and Willis Etheridge. Mm-hmm. And it's a good band of veteran writers and performers.
Yeah, give us an idea what's on the program.
Well, everything from, you know, the censorship dates back to even before the Constitution in America. You know, when they first had the printing press. You know, John Peter Zenger. Some people know that story of the first publisher in America. When this printing press got busted up, and, you know, so did song copyrights, or at least song sheets that were criticizing the King of England. So it goes like way back to there. Although we don't do those songs, but you know, we do everything from Billy Holiday and the Civil Rights Movement through rock and roll, where, you know, sometimes sexuality and drugs sort of raised eyebrows, and up through current times where, you know, rap songs and things like that get banned from Walmart, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of response do you get from audiences?
It's great. You know, it's not just a concert. It's a script. You know, it's a scripted thing, and it's almost like a stage play in a way, where we are all up there as musicians. But a fellow named Ken Paulson, who used to be the executive director of First Amendment Center, and then he went on to be the editor of USA Today for about 4 or 5 years, and now he's sort of back with the organization again. And Gene Polasinski have kept the program going over the last 10 years, and there's a whole dialogue that goes along with the music that you hear, and so it's a very entertaining way of talking about the importance of free speech in music, but also it's almost like a little history lesson as well, as being a rock show.
Yeah, so we'll leave singing and stamping our feet, but we'll also have reviewed the First Amendment.
Yeah, and it's actually quite moving, to be honest. I've been a part of the program since it started, and we can go for maybe a month or so without having done it, and then we come back and we feel all pumped up again every time we do it. And, you know, and this group of musicians that goes out and does this, we all have other jobs, we all do other things, but we feel important about it. We feel it's important work to do.
Yeah, yeah. So, why did you get involved?
Oh, I just believed in it. And also the power of the script was great, you know. Ken Paulson, who wrote it, and then it's been amended since he left, and come back by Gene Polasinski, who's executive director there now. So the program has changed a little bit over the 10 years that we've been doing it, but it's just the power of what was on paper to begin with. You know, when you see something that's really well laid out, plus it includes performances of, you know, favorite songs and great stories to go along with them, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of power, the words to the First Amendment are so powerful.
Yes, they are.
You want to review them for us this afternoon? So we're...
Are you, Celeste, are you putting me on the spot?
No.
No, okay. Well,
I just thought we could be all ready to go.
Well, you know, I don't have them in front of me, but,
Well, you know the rights. You don't have to you don't have to recall it from memory, but I'm thinking we've got speech, right?
Right.
We got religion.
Right.
Check.
Check.
Press.
Press.
The,
and then the one that most people forget is assembly.
Right.
Assembly. What have we said so far? We've said
religion.
Religion.
Speech.
Speech.
Press. Assemble. Press. And to petition.
Petition. Yeah, exactly. And we have examples of all those. Of all those rights within the concept of the program, Stevie Wonder's song when he was trying to get legislation passed, where everyone was trying to get legislation passed for Martin Luther King Day, had a song called "Happy Birthday," and that was like petition set to music. So that would be an example of that. And
And I think what we'll do is I'm going to give my director an audible here. Let's hear Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday. But before we get to that, as you'll be in a community of fans of Cheap Trick tomorrow, tell us about your experience performing with them.
Well, my role in playing with them is only when they do the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album. They've been doing that 2 years in a row at the Hollywood Bowl, and we've played in Tampa and in New York. So it's like a total of, you know, really four different times. I wrote a song with them on that Rockford album as a songwriter. I worked with them, and then I got involved with doing these shows with them where I'm the second guitar player. Rick is still there, of course, and then they have a keyboard player from New York named Danny Lewis who plays in a band called Government Mule. So Danny and I are their sidemen, and then they have a full orchestra behind them. And they do the Sgt. Pepper album from start to finish, which is very similar to a band I have here in Nashville called the Long Players, where we do classic albums from start to finish. And Tom Peterson, who lives here from Cheap Trick, he lives down here in Nashville, and he's sat in with us quite a few times doing various records. So that's how I got involved with them.
That sounds like those are great shows.
Those are a lot of fun, yeah. We've been doing that other band for about 5 years now,
okay.
The Long Players, so...
We got to wrap it up here, so let's hear Happy Birthday. This is from 1980, and here it's a Stevie Wonder tune, and it's performed by Janelle Mosser and the Freedom Sings cast.
You know it doesn't make much sense. There ought to be a law against anyone who takes offense. A day in your celebration. See, I just never understood how a man who died for good could not have a day that would be set aside for his recognition. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
A group of musicians singing out for the First Amendment will be in Champaign-Urbana tomorrow for a free rock concert. It is set for tomorrow evening at 7:30 at Folinger Auditorium. It is free and open to the public, called Freedom Sings for the First Amendment. It will feature music that has been banned, censored, or has sounded a call for social change. Bill Lloyd was my guest in this portion of the program. He's a Grammy-nominated performer and part of the former duo Foster and Lloyd. In recent years, he's been performing with Cheap Trick. He's also the string instrument curator at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and he'll be on the stage tomorrow night at the Folinger Auditorium for Freedom Sings for the First Amendment.
Earth and Sky.